One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace, and that would wipe the smile right from my face.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Full Court Press, brought to you by The Game Entertainment and Media and The Game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you on this chilly Sunday morning as we are joined by co-host Matt Johnson. And Matt, welcome back to Full Court Press, where we talk about the world of boys high school basketball in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. I know you're doing good on this Sunday because your Bengals won. How are you doing besides that?
Well, I'm living my best life with the Bengals with their game last night, and I think I'm moving a little slow today. But I'm doing terrific, Scott. I'm in a good mood. The coffee tastes better today. My breakfast tasted better today. The sun is out. Everything is just great.
Everything is just great, Matt, and we will get to the entire scope of boys high school basketball in the Eastern Upper Peninsula coming up in our next segment, but we have a special guest on today's Full Court Press. We are joined by Newberry Boys head basketball coach Ken DePue, also the athletic director of Newberry High School. Ken, appreciate you joining Matt and I on Full Court Press, and how you doing on this Sunday morning, sir?
Hey, it's a beautiful Sunday for me as well. I get a hard time from the Packer fans in this area, being a lowly Lion fan, so I wasn't too upset with yesterday night's game.
I was not either, Ken. I am a long-suffering Lions fan as well, and I was telling Matt off the air, you know, it took 32 years for the Bengals to win a playoff game, and then they win another one last night. Lions have won one playoff game in 64 years, so I guess we're on the clock now.
Yes, I think so.
Ken, how has the season gone for your Newberry Indians? Obviously, it's been a challenging season for everyone due to pauses and stops and starts, but your team right now on a three-game winning streak, currently 3-4 on the season, beat Brimley convincingly at home last week by the score of 73-37. Just first question for me is just overall, how has the season gone for your Newberry Indians?
Pretty rough season, more so I think as an athletic director. We started off, as you, Scott, I had a bout with COVID and cost me 2 weeks. And Matt, you're a coach, you know that 2 weeks without your team, you know, fill-in coaches just aren't the same. And the team knows it, and practices aren't as intense. So I actually came back a day before we had to play our first game. So I'm scrambling like in the pregame talk with inbound plays and the such, and it really showed. We got blown out by Cedarville, and then as scheduling would have it, we only had one day, and then we had to play the Bulldogs in Rudyard. And they just absolutely destroyed us. Then we went into Christmas break, and then, you know, I was able to get with the team for a while. I thought we showed some improvement, but still getting things together. And we got beat up with St. Agnes, but I thought took a step forward against St. Agnes. And then another step forward against Sheboygan, and then we just, you know, we continued to get better. We were able to beat Pickford, who was down a couple of starters. We were able to beat Manistique, which was a little surprising. And then we beat up on Brimley, but they were down, I think, three starters, and they had a three-week layoff. So I think all of the coaches on the Eastern end are really fighting with this COVID and losing players and gaining players and just – trying to adjust lineups. It's been a tough couple of years.
Kenny, so last year you had Logan, who was, you know, one of the highest scorers in the region, if not the highest scorer, was EUP Player of the Year, responsible for a lot of the scoring on the team. So tell us, you know, about your roster this year, and if all goes well, like How are those points being replaced?
Yeah, Logan is a tough replacement. Not only is, you know, he's 23, 25 points a game, but he led our team in steals, in assists, in rebounds, and he was a catalyst really for everything. But we got a foreign exchange student from Italy, Claudio Bistolfi. He is talented with the ball, but had never really played organized basketball. They don't have high school sports. It's more like clubs over there. So, you know, his first game in Cedarville was literally his first game, and he did pretty well. Of course, I got Marco Juarez returning, a good ball handler. Connor Rinnemack, he's picking up some of the scoring. My two big men, Liam Shanley and Eric Edwards, are, you know, they're a lot stronger this year than last year, and that has been a new element in kind of the way that our team has changed over. We're more physical than we were last year. And then freshman Maddie Rawhalley scored 19 in our last game, and that was, I'm hoping, a coming-out party for him. But a couple of those guys, you know, one thing that we got to worry about with basketball in Newberry is hockey.
Yep.
So yeah. We got, like, Maddie Rawhalley and Eric Edwards are both on the hockey team. So that adds a little wrinkle to us as well.
Captain Pugh joining us on Full Court Press. Matt, you have another question for Ken?
Yeah, I just had a follow-up on that. I am amazed what you just said about Claudio Bistolfi not having played organized basketball, because one of the things when I watched your game so far, he's one of the guys who really stuck out to me as having some basketball ability. And I would never in a million years have guessed that. Has he just been like practicing on a basket by himself? Like, where did he pick these skills up?
You know, talking with Claudio, I think he had a trainer, and they play in club sports over there. But you're right about the skills. His ball handling skills are fantastic. And I think now, you know, the last couple of games now, he's led our team in assists, where, you know, the first few games we had a tough time getting him to pass the ball. He's very good at one-on-ones if you have an open court, but as you know, we can drive by someone here, and then we've got the big center waiting for us. And now he's learning what to do in that situation. I'm just hoping for more good things out of Claudio.
Where's he from?
He is from Italy.
Okay.
Ken DePue joining us on Full Court Press, head coach of the Newberry Indians boys basketball team, also athletic director. And Ken, you alluded to it in the first question I asked you about the challenges, not just being a head coach during COVID times, but also as an athletic director. Both Matt and I have that background, Matt a little longer than yours truly. And during non-pandemic times, that's always a challenging job just on its own. If you had to pick one thing, and there's many things, obviously, that I would imagine have been challenging during these past 2 years, what's been the most challenging, not just as a head coach, but as an athletic director?
Well, scheduling the games itself isn't too tough, but rescheduling has been pretty tough. As you guys know, we've lost a couple of officiating teams on the East End, and the officiating teams that we have are fantastic. You know, they're willing to work, and they're doing 4, 5, and 6 games a week. And when we have these reschedules, you know, we got to get on the phone right away to see who we can get. And a lot of teams, what we're seeing now is some games are being officiated with two officials because the third guy has to make up another game so a team can play. And they've really bent over backwards to help the kids play these games, and it makes me cringe when the fans give them a hard time, because these guys are working 5 days. You know, they're working their job, then they come and officiate a game, and they're doing it 5 and sometimes 6 days a week.
Absolutely. By the way, Kenny, we have a segment of the show called War Stories. I just want to let you know, if you have any parents that are giving you a hard time, or any that are being unruly towards officials, and you want to let it be known to the masses what kind of behavior is going on, and you want the empire to strike back, you are welcome anytime on the air to do that, or you can tell me and I'll do it.
Sounds like an offer you can't refuse there, Ken.
Yeah, that it happens, and it makes me cringe, and, you know, I get on them. But if you guys, official, you don't mind so much talking with the coach. What bothers the officials is when the players want to chime in, and the fans want to chime in, and the parents and the grandmas and the high school kids, and, you know, it makes it rough. And then from the other standpoint, as an athletic director, I don't want anyone talking with the officials, because I know how hard it is to get them to work the games.
Yeah. So, Ken, Scott, do we have an audio problem here?
No, just a little background noise. Keep going, Matt.
Okay. One of the players on your team that I've been high on, I was high on him when I was a coach, probably as high on him as anyone, and high on him in the media just because I like some of the intangibles, was Marco Juarez. Will you just talk a little bit about Marco and what it's like, what he's like, and what it's like to coach him, and what he brings to your team?
Yeah, I talked earlier about Logan leading the team in rebounds, and I think Marco was either second or third, being almost always the shortest player on the court. But he's a very quick, strong ball handler. His shot has been his bugaboo for his career. He's struggled with his shooting. He works on it, and they just they're not falling for him. But he's very good around the basket, and he's getting a lot of assists for us. Very good defensively. He knows the game. But the intangibles is when you're in a scrap for a loose ball, you know, he comes out with it a lot, and he's done that for now. He's a 3-year starter for us, and he's only a junior.
Yeah, if you look at the players that I've really talked about on this show, it's kind of been those hustle intangible guys. I love McLean and St. Ignace. I love Orsborn and Pickford. I love Marco and Newberry, because, like, your game against St. Ignace, I know that the final score was not great, but when I saw that game, I noticed a significant turnaround in your team just in kind of how they were playing, particularly on offense. The ball movement, spacing was good. Marco, I just noticed, like, how much of a part he was of, whether it was turnovers, how good he is in transition, just kind of like all those intangible plays that contribute to winning.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's been Marco for 3 years now. He makes so much happen on the basketball court. And while, you know, as a coach, it's not always the people putting the ball in the basket that are the stars of the team. It's people that do everything else.
Absolutely.
Ken DePue joining us on Full Court Press, head coach of the Newberry Indians boys basketball team. And Ken, my final question for you this morning is, looking at your schedule, obviously every week is going to be busy, trying to get all the games in. This upcoming week, you have a pair of home games. On Wednesday, you take on Munising, who had their first loss last night to Rudyard, and then back to Straits Area Conference play on Friday, taking on Sheboygan, and then a makeup game at Sioux High a week from Monday. Just final question for me is, overall expectations for you as head coach for the rest of the season? Obviously, your team has won three straight. You want to win a lot of games, but just overall, what are your goals for the remainder of the season and beyond?
Well, at the beginning of the year, I was told by a couple of guys in Newbury, boy, if you get four or five wins this year, it's going to be a really strong year. And, you know, looking at on tape, I think my team's every bit as good as they were last year. Connor Rinnemacki's shooting has improved. He helps us out. Claudio helps us out. The two big guys, Liam and Eric, are improved. The problem with the EUP this year for us is that every team, I think, is better than they were a year ago. You know, we took Detour in Cedarville, looked like probably four wins for us, and turned it into two incredibly tough games now that they are combined. Engadine still rebuilding, struggling, but I think when at full strength, Brimley is tougher than they were last year. Sault Ste. Marie is way better than they were last year. St. Agnes has improved. Sheboygan, if not better, they're equal to where they were last year. So, you know, the wins are tough to come by. I'm hoping, like I do every year, that we continue to improve. We have been fortunate enough to play our best basketball at the end of the season, because the last few years we've been able to improve throughout the year. And that's really the goal, that the players continue to play hard. Early in the year, it was frustrating that I would get other coaches and fans and even officials comment on just how hard Newbury played. And that's somewhat frustrating for a coach because, you know, you want the kids to get wins. And now we've tasted some victory. So we'll continue to play hard. We'll continue to improve. You know, the schedule is really tough on the East End. I think Munising found that out yesterday in Red Yard, that on the East End of the UP for the small schools is pretty strong basketball. So I don't know. I won't throw out a number of wins I'm looking for. I'm looking for continued improvement and continued hard work from my team, and I will be satisfied with their effort if I get that.
Matt, your final question for Ken.
I don't have a question. I have a comment. So
okay.
You're absolutely right. When I see this team, you know, the last few games that I've watched, I see a scrappy team and that's how Ken's teams have been. When Ken was, I still remember this, Ken, remember when you and I were JV coaches and I had that really solid team in 17 in Pickford, and you came down and beat us. And every year it just seems like, you know, you do a good job getting your team, you know, where they're playing hard. So we are pulling for you on this show. You're one of our favorites, that's for sure. And best luck the rest of the way.
And I got a little story about that particular game. We had our practice. I had 5-on-7 press breaker drills, and I would run a drill where I would time the amount of time we could get the ball out of bounds and throw it to half court, because we knew your diamond was really strong up top, but we could exploit it at the half court inbound pass. So we would run a drill, and the kids, well, you know, the JV kids, they were whining, "Coach, what are we wasting time with? You got 7 guys out here. They're not going to have 7 guys." I was like, "Well, if you guys understood that first game, it was like Pickford had 7 guys out there." And at the end of that game, the kids were like, "Coach, I'm never going to question any of your drills again."
Absolutely.
They were really excited. So, yes, I do remember that game.
Oh, that was... And you know, we went 18-2 that year, and we lost to Cedarville by 1 point in the first game, and we were playing you on a Wednesday, I think, in Cedarville on Friday. And our kids, I think, were just thinking, well, we beat Newbury decisively. they kind of were thinking about Cedarville. And one of the worst coaching errors I ever made, I broke the cardinal rule. I did some Cedarville stuff before the Newberry game, and you coached your ass off in that game. You had those guys prepared to win. Best job, coaching job I went against that season as far as preparing their team. It still breaks my heart. I'm sure it's one of your highlights.
Ken DePue joining us on Full Court Press. Ken, best of luck the rest of the season. Thanks for joining Matt and I on Full Court Press, and we'll certainly talk to you and see you down the road. Appreciate you taking time out, and again, best of luck to you and your team the rest of the season.
Hey, guys, before I leave, what are your picks today? I know Matt doesn't really care about football until next week now, but any upsets today or the home team's going to win?
I'm gonna go Rams and Bills.
I'm gonna go Bucks and Chiefs, but I was 0-2 yesterday, Ken, so take that as you will. All right. We're gonna take a break here on Full Court Press. Matt and I will be back with more on the world of Eastern Upper Peninsula High School boys basketball coming up here in a moment. Welcome back to Full Court Press, brought to you by The Game Entertainment and Media and The Game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host Matt Johnson. Want to thank our special guest, Ken DePue, head coach of the Newberry Boys High School basketball team, also Newberry Athletic Director. And Matt, appreciate you setting up this interview with Kenny, really one of the good guys, in my opinion, in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. Of course, I've had dealings with him through media, and also I officiate high school softball, and always a good time to go out there. Kenny, just a good guy, in my opinion, and certainly he had a lot to say. And what did you think of the interview with him?
Oh, it's terrific. I mean, if you can't get along with Kenny DePue, you can't get along with anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's one of those things. And his team is scrappy. There's a lot I like about the team. I mean, they're not the most talented team in the world, but I've just seen improvement along the way, and they're capable. I think that you'll see them beat some teams that you might not think that they would. They probably don't have the ability, you know, to beat a Rudyard or Sioux. But anyone else in the schedule, look out. I mean, they're going to give you a tough game.
Matt, before we look at this past week's results in boys high school basketball, wanted to promote your interview with Dave Watson on Saturday on Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. You were on with Dave talking about boys high school basketball and this show, Full Court Press. You can find Coach's Corner podcasts on our podcast page. Just go to thegamesportshow.com or thegamesportshow.podbean.com. You can find Coach's Corner from Saturday to talk or to hear more about boys high school basketball. Results from this past week, Matt, not a lot of games due to either the schedule or COVID. Sioux High started their week this past Tuesday losing at a very good Marquette team, 60-39. The Blue Devils now 3-5 on the season. They were scheduled to take on Newberry this past Thursday. However, that game has been moved to Monday, January 31st. The Blue Devils' next action will be on Monday night as they host the Pickford Panthers. You can hear that game over on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson and Ray Bell. On Tuesday, rather, that game was Tuesday night for Sioux High. Other Tuesday games, we talked about this one with Ken. Newberry knocked off Brimley 73-37. The Indians now winners of three in a row. They will be home to Munising on Wednesday. The Bays 4-3. They will be home to Rudyard on Tuesday, and Rudyard had a very busy week. They knocked off Engadine at home on Tuesday, 81-31. Rudyard also won at Pickford on Thursday, 74-25. And then on Saturday, last night, beating a previously unbeaten Munising by the score of 57-34. Rudyard now 8-0 on the season. And as I mentioned, they will be at Brimley on Tuesday. That one a makeup game. One game on Wednesday night as undefeated Hillman topped Cedarville Detour 70-38. The Islanders would bounce back on Thursday night as they won at Engadine 72-35. Cedarville Detour now 4-3 on the season. They will host Sioux High on Wednesday night. That game will be played in Detour, and you can hear that game also on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson and Ray Bell. Engadine 0-6 on the season. They will be at Munising on Monday night. Pickford 0-5 on the season after losing at home to Rudyard. They will be at Sioux High on Monday night. One other game, Matt, St. Ignace, they edged out Sheboygan on the road in Straits Area Conference play on Thursday night. 52-51, the Saints now 4-3 on the season. They will be at Gaylord on Tuesday. So those were the games that were played, Matt. And any comments on some of the action that you not just heard there, but possibly watched?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest game of the week happened yesterday. Rudyard defeated Munising, and Munising's a tough team. Rudyard won. It was a, you know, a competitive game, but they won somewhat decisively. It was over a 20-point win. Rudyard, it's just gotten to a situation where there, in the EUP conference, there's just not going to be a competitive game. Last week we were parsing out whether their closest game would be 15 points or 20 points. Now I'm thinking it might be 30.
Yeah.
In the EUP league, in the EUP conference. The Straits, different deal. I said on the game, or not on the game, on the coach's corner show with Dave, I'm actually predicting the Sioux to beat Rudyard on Friday.
Wow.
Yeah. I just think, no, I'm doing a favor, I think, for Jimmy and for Tracy and those guys.
Yes, sometimes, a little motivation there here, yeah, in some bulletin board material.
When you're fat and happy, you need to have, you know, something to... But here's the deal. I've just been in these situations. I've been in situations where you have a team that's that favorite. And listen, do I think they'll be up for the Sioux game? Yeah, because they played a close game the first time. But the Sioux has a record that's not great, but their play is pretty darn solid, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I you gotta look at who they played, the circumstances of the games. I think they have their lineup right. I think they're getting their rotation right. I didn't think they played very good defensively in that first game against Rudyard. I think that will be shored up in the game. I think that you'll see longer possessions for the Sioux, trying to have the margin. Not like they've done the last few years where it's like super long, because they do have talent to do things, but they'll try and make every possession count. And the difference with the Sioux and some other teams, they have size. So I think it's really going to be a battle. Scott, I'm leaving the house this week for a few games. I've been watching basketball like crazy, but I've been watching them online.
Right.
I'm going to leave the house twice. On Monday, I'm going to go watch the Sioux host Pickford. It will be my first in-person Pickford game since I stopped coaching. And then I'm going to go watch Rudyard and the Sioux on Friday.
The question I have for you, Matt, is where can Pickford fans and parents find you Monday to get autographs?
Well, I should watch what I say, but it depends who they are. But right. Some of my pals that I coach with go to these games. I'll probably sit with them, but yeah, Pickford had a rough go of it the other night. They had Rudyard. Everyone has a rough go of it when they play Rudyard right now. I just think we'll see. Pickford, obviously, they're going to have a tough one on Monday against the Sioux. But whenever you have kind of a rough outing, it's not about who you play. It's about how you play. Okay? It's not about can you beat Rudyard, can you beat the Sioux. As a coach, I always thought, is my team getting better? Are we taking steps in the right direction? So, you know, Pickford just needs a little self-motivation in that regard. And you know, every game is an opportunity to kind of turn things in the right direction. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we're going to have that Friday game in Rudyard. We picked that up on 1230 WSO. Myself and Ray Bell will be on the call for that one. Certainly, Straits Area Conference implications on the line. Looking at the conference standings, Madigan, it's pretty early, but, you know, we are getting to the halfway point of the season. Rudyard and the Straits 3-0. Suhai 2-1, St. Ignace 2-2, Sheboygan 1-2, and Newberry 0-3. In the EUP Conference, Rudyard undefeated there as well, 4-0. Cedarville Detour 4-1, and Newberry 2-2 in EUP Conference play. Brimley 1-2, Engadine 0-2, and Pickford 0-4. And, you know, obviously Rudyard is the prohibitive favorite, but if Suhai can knock off Rudyard, then that makes that Straits Area Conference race very entertaining. There, one question, Matt, before we get on to some other things is, you know, looking at this Rudyard team, obviously coming back, having the majority of their players back from their state semifinal run last year. I guess the question I have for you is, are they better this year? Which I think they probably are, because, you know, most of these players now have another year of experience. But, you know, is this team as good or better from what you've seen so far this year than last season when, heck, they made it to the state semifinal?
Yes, they're better. They're better because they're smarter. They're smarter with the ball, their decision making, shot selection. They're disciplined that way. You know, obviously we're talking, this is a matter of degree because they were very good last year. So I would, I think that. I think you're not, you know, you don't see some of the issues. When I used to game plan for them, and I'd think, well, let's get Vestum into foul trouble. Let's try and force, you know, let's get real contested threes with EJ. And they're just not making those kinds of mistakes, you know, the way they did earlier. So, I think Rudyard's going to the Breslin Center.
I do as well. I haven't really looked at the district and regional draws too much yet. Obviously, the draws will be, unlike past seasons, they have, you know, points rankings and such, rather as, you know, when you and I were athletic directors, you put names in a hat, literally, and drew them out. So those days are done. But yeah, Rudyard certainly has to be a favorite. And just one other thing on Rudyard, you know, they are the only team, I believe, in boys basketball to have what you would call co-coaches with Jim Suggett and Tracy Peterson. And, you know, that dynamic, I think, it just works very well. You know, Tracy's been doing it for a long time. Coach Suggett's been coaching basically everything, but, you know, head coach for the boys varsity basketball team. Just that coaching dynamic. What are your thoughts on those two guys? Because they're very different individuals. I know them both very well. It just seems to work beautifully for Rudyard right now.
Yeah, I know them both very well. I've worked with them both. It's about the reason it works is because, honestly, it's because they're motivated by the same thing, which is right. they want the team to be successful. That's it, right? It's not about, this is not like an ego thing. It's about everyone. It's about, that's what sports is supposed to be about, team, right? Like, let's go for the best outcome. Tracy brings experience like no other. He's probably like the smartest basketball guy I know. Jimmy he's just like the Energizer Bunny. You know?
Like, yes, he is.
Like, he just, it's just relentless. Like, he's like a robot, you know? Like, I mean, the football, he's coaching football and, you know, when my football season ends, like, I'm just, like, emotionally drained and, like,
I need a time to, yeah.
He has an open gym the next day. Like, nothing happened, you know. You know, they could get eliminated from a basketball playoff and he'll, well, we're going to start in, well, we have baseball practice, then we're going to start in the off season. It's like,
yeah.
And I think, you know, kind of between the two, you know, when you take away all the logistical stuff that being a head coach and honestly the energy, time consuming stuff of running a program, because when you're the head coach, you're not just coaching a team, you're running a program.
Yep.
Right? And you can be good at one, not good at the other, or you might be good at both, but you might not like doing one part of it. You know, Tracy's not going to be coaching in Redding for 10 years. You know, Cameron is a sophomore who's a hell of a prospect, one of my favorite players. You know, Tracy's not going to be coaching beyond when Cameron's there.
Right.
So he is not really going to run the fifth grade program. You know what I mean? Or the sixth grade. Jimmy has the energy for that kind of thing. He has the energy. And I think with the team, you know, when you're steady that way, that's an important thing for a coach, that the coach be the same person all the time. You know, and I think Jimmy is the same person all the time. And I think that that's actually one of the most important qualities for a coach. The players like kind of having that kind of consistency. So there you go. They have high expectations. They're very different from each other, but obviously it's been working.
It's been working very well, not just for the boys basketball program in Rudyard, but throughout their entire athletic program. Certainly the best one in the area right now, and it doesn't look to get any it looks like the results will continue in the weeks, months, and years to come. Scott Nason and Matt Johnson with you for our latest edition of Full Court Press. And Matt, when we were talking to Ken DePue there a little while ago, the subject of officials came up, and certainly I think most people that follow high school sports know that officials are hard to come by, not just in boys high school basketball, but really throughout all sports in high school athletics. And the question I have for you is, as a coach or even as a media mogul, as you are right now, what would be the one crew, and I'm only going to have you pick one crew, that you want to see officiate your game? Certainly there's lots of good officials around here. Some of these guys have been doing it for a long, long time. But Matt, the question I have for you is, what crew do you want to see coming into your gymnasium as a coach?
Well, you're limiting me to just one. So I won't talk about my runner-up crew from St. Ignace, who I like a lot.
I like them too.
They used to always be my one crew, but that's not my one crew anymore. They're my two crew. I'm going to go ahead and say Jeff Clark, Dan Bruni, and whoever they have with them, Elmer.
Sure.
Pray for Elmer. Hope he's doing all right. You know, and the reason is they're very professional, and they're not going to get bullied. You know, let me tell you a story. Cedarville, like, they sent out an email. They didn't want that crew doing any games because Jeff had ejected an unruly man, and apparently it was someone who was related to the right person. And they sent, they sent an email saying, we request not just games in Cedarville. They didn't want other teams scheduling them when they played Cedarville.
Blacklisted. So
like, yeah. And I told our athletic director, Mike Collins, I said, you and I are going to have a problem if you schedule anyone other than this crew when we play Cedarville.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, don't tell me we don't want this crew, because now you're just incentivizing me to get this crew. Because you see, and I say this, I have like all the respect in the world for the Duncans. They've been extremely successful. And part of it was, like, kind of like the same thing, same game that the Ingalls play, they would get on these officials, and sometimes they could intimidate these officials into doing what they want.
Sure.
Right? So they get in their ear. Well, that's not going to happen with this crew. Right? Like, Jeff's not going to have, you know, Duncan's in his ear. So, like,
right.
he would tee up their bench. And they had a kid, they had a kid who, a couple of years ago, we were playing him. It's like he used to just run his mouth constantly, and it was just the most irritating thing in the world. and they would not put up with it a second. And it was hilarious, but it was awesome because, like, it was overdue. Everyone should have done it. But listen, it's not, but it's professional. You know, like, I have conversations with those guys. I still see Bruni, and I talk about calls and things. And there's a thought process behind everything. They're very self-aware and self-critical. And that's what I would say. The fact that you know what you're trying to do, you're consistent in your enforcement, you're you communicate. It's not about personal conflicts. Those guys, they could ref. Or Bruni's from Pickford, Jess from Rudyard. Nobody complains about those guys reffing games in those hometowns because you're getting like the best crew, right? So that's all you want as a coach. You just want, you don't want the officials to be the story of the game. You want the game to, you know, the best team to win. And those guys, I think, create an environment where it allows that to happen.
I would agree, Matt. I've worked with Jeff Clark several times doing umpiring, especially early on in my umpiring career. And, you know, as an official, you know, as somebody that officiates high school softball, you're always trying to get better and trying to learn things. And certainly knowing Jeff, and he's very serious fellow about his officiating. Many times when I broadcast games, he would text me and say, you know, what did you think? How did I do? Yeah. And that's the kind of official you want. And certainly my hat's off to anybody that officiates. High school softball is much easier than high school basketball, where you have, you know, blocks and charges, and, you know, you have to make a split second decision. You're never making anyone happy. And we're certainly lucky to have all the officials that we do, because they're not getting any younger, and we're not seeing a whole lot of young blood, if you will, into the officiating. And I got to say, many times I can't blame them, because, you know, the pay is one thing and it's not bad. I mean, I wouldn't do it if it wasn't financially advantageous to myself, but just the other stuff you have to deal with as an official. As you know, as a coach, that seems to be more of the challenge to try to get these younger officials in. I guess one more question on this. You know, what does the state of Michigan, the MHSAA, need to do to try to get more people involved? I know that it's certainly been on their agenda when we've talked to Mark Yule, the executive director of the MHSAA, and others. But can you think of anything maybe that schools or the state can do to try to get, you know, some young guys in there? Because, you know, a lot of these crews at some point, and we've already seen a couple step away due to COVID or due to just, you know, getting older and not wanting to do it anymore. Is there anything that the state or people can do to try to get more young people involved in officiating?
Yeah, this problem came up in my last days, really, as athletic director in Rudyard. We were looking at, I remember being in an AD meeting, and we were looking at the state of officiating, and it was rickety then. You know, like a lot of these guys had been doing it forever. Some of them, their knees were going bad. And the question was, how are we going to replace these guys? Well, the day has come, right? You're actually, last year I had a game get canceled because there was no refs. The game got moved for that reason alone.
Yeah.
So you are seeing that. You're seeing the guys who are willing to do it working all the time. So here's the solution that I gave at the time. And to me, this is really the only solution. If you're a school, you have a budget for officials, whatever that dollar number happens to be. Let's say it's 10 grand. Let's say it's 20 grand, whatever. 15, we'll call it 15. If your ref budget for the year is 15 grand, you need to make it 30. Okay. Basically, I think you have to double the pay. Don't increase it by 10%. Don't increase it by 20%. To understand how you create an incentive, it has to be so much of an incentive that when people hear it, it's a real opportunity to make money.
Yeah.
And you might say, well, we can't afford that. Yeah, you can. Okay, look, at the end of the day, all these school budgets would not be broken by doubling your officiating budget. Like, it's a drop in the bucket for a school budget. And when you look at, for these schools, most of your problems come from sports. You know what I mean? Like your unruly parents and people mad. You know, usually sports is like one of the leading reasons, right? So I know sometimes people think, is it about sportsmanship? Is it about parent behavior? Well, yeah, you should do all that stuff. Like that's, you need to have some balls at the local level and ban some of these clowns that are treating coaches and officials that way. But you can't be scared, right? This thing about, well, you know, let's find the middle ground. No, let's not find the middle ground. This person's a clown and a jackass. They got to be banned, right? And grow a set and deal with it. There's that. But I really don't even think that that's the answer, Scott. I think money is the answer.
Yeah, I would agree. I used to do baseball and softball, but, you know, a few years ago I made the switch just to softball because, one, the baseball games many times can take a lot longer. Obviously, the game with pickoffs and balks and pitch counts. And so I made the switch, and I know that some schools are starting to pay baseball umpires more because many people are doing what I did. You know, your time is limited. Work during the day, and then, you know, you're out on the fields for 3-4 hours sometimes. Financial, bottom line is that's going to get more people in, and I would completely agree with that proposal and what you said right there, Matt. Scott Nason and Matt Johnson with you on this latest edition of Full Court Press, and Matt, we will end our show with the latest installment of War Stories with Matt Johnson talking about some of his coaching experience in high school basketball in the area and some of the more entertaining, if you will, or challenging parts of coaching. So, Matt, what is your latest story that you like to share to our listeners today?
Now, this one, I knew that we were talking about officials today, so I wanted to have something related to officials. So I am reaching into the memory bank here, and I'm pulling out another AD story. I apologize, it's not a coaching story, but and let me give you a context. This was my last event that I had to game manage as AD at Rutgers. Okay? And I have to say, like, for the most part, people were great. I very rarely had incidents. I never was having to eject someone. It was never really up for, I mean, people would, honestly, I thought were great most of the time. So I'm thinking to myself, I just want to get out of this last one without an issue, but this was not just any game. It was a home boys basketball game, and it was against Pickford.
Oh, boy.
And the reason that this is tricky for me is because I was, you know, I was teaching at Pickford, too. It's kind of like I was teaching in Pickford until 1:30 at that time, and then I would go to Rudyard in the afternoon. So, like, I was working for two districts, right?
Right.
But this was going to be it for me in Rudyard. So, you know, the last thing I want to do is have some kind of negative incident with someone from Pickford.
Right.
You know, well, during the JV game, the official points up in the stands at a parent and says, "He needs to go." And I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, you've got to be kidding me."
Here we go.
Yeah. I mean, cause I was kind of self-conscious about working for two districts to begin with. Right.
Sure. So
I didn't like to emphasize when I was in Pickford. I never talked about it, like, with my class that I was Rutgers AD, or, you know, like I just treated them as, like, separate worlds. Right. So I'm thinking, oh, great. Now I have to go up in the stands and, like, eject this guy who I knew who it was. And the guy's in a bad mood, so who knows what he's going to be yelling or saying. So I walk over there. I tell him, the official says that you need to leave. So you're going to have to leave. And much to my surprise, well, I guess I was pleasantly surprised that he got up without incident. And then he went on to tell me how this was the worst crew and they shouldn't be doing any games, et cetera, how they were making bad calls. Okay. So that's bad. I'm like, great. So I have to eject someone from Pickford in my last game. Then in the fourth quarter, another parent gets upset. It was like they throw their popcorn and water in the air, like, because they went to raise their arms. They were so upset by a call. And what happened is their water bottle went flying, opened up, and just soaked the people at the scorer's table. Like, they got hit with this water, and they thought that a Pickford fan who was mad just chucked the water bottle.
Oh, my goodness.
So now the refs blow a whistle, and they're pointing to another one. And the score table is pointing up at the guy. It looked like November, you know, the Kennedy assassination, where everyone was pointing at the book depository.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's pointing up. Him. It was him. I saw it. It was him. And now I have to go eject a second Pickford person.
Oh, my.
And that guy, I mean, he went kicking and screaming, basically. I mean, he was so fired up. And I'm thinking to myself, I made it this whole time without something like this. And sure enough, it had to happen against the place that I'm working. So that's it for me, Scott.
War Stories with Matt Johnson, always entertaining, and we'll have another one next week. Before we go, looking at our broadcast schedule this week, don't forget Monday nights, the game on News Talk 1400. We'll be replaying the interview Matt and I did with Ken DePue earlier in the show, as well as be talking to David McKay Jr. from Sioux, Ontario, and Butch Davis from Butch on Sports in Metro Detroit, 6 to 8 o'clock every Monday night on News Talk 1400. For our listeners that are out of our signal range, you can also listen to it online at newstalk1400.net, or you can find the podcast on this podcast page, thegamesportsshow.com. We'll also have lots of Sioux High boys basketball this week, Monday night at home against Pickford, Wednesday at Detour, and Friday at Rudyard. Dave Watson and Ray Bell will have the games Monday and Wednesday over on 1230 WSOO, as well online at 1230WSOO.com, or you can also use the TuneIn app. And I will be down in Rudyard Friday night with Ray Bell. Big game at the Harris College Gymnasium as the Sioux High Blue Devils take on the Rudyard Bulldogs on Friday night. We'll also have girls high school basketball on Thursday, Sioux High and Rudyard in Sault Ste. Marie. Yours truly and Ray Bell will have the call of that one. Well, Matt, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Lots of good football to come, and we'll be doing our show next Saturday once again, because I know your Sunday is going to be booked with the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC Championship game. I can honestly say a few months ago, I didn't think I would say that, but certainly as a Bengals fan, and you've been one not just over the past couple of years, Matt, you've been one pretty much your entire life. Got to be real happy with your Bengals right now.
Absolutely, and it's ahead of schedule. You know, I knew they were getting better, but I didn't think it would be this year that they would make that run. So I feel like we're playing with house money, and sometimes that's the best way to have it. The pressure's kind of off.
Exactly. Well, Matt, great show once again, and we will talk to you next Saturday for our next edition of Full Court Press.
Sounds good, Scott. Have a good one.
You as well. That's going to do it for our show. I want to thank our special guest, Ken DePue, athletic director at Newberry High School, as well as the head coach of the Newberry boys basketball team, and co-host Matt Johnson for joining us. And want to thank all of you for listening. We will talk to you next Saturday for our next edition of Full Court Press here on The Game Entertainment and Media.